This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Lee Chui Lin. Tonight, is it difficult to make friends as an adult?
So recently, a bunch of studies have highlighted that adults, men in particular, are lonely and lack friendship. So first, we're going to discuss why it's so hard to make and maintain friends in general as an adult and why it's important. And then, why is it harder for men?
So tell us, do you find it hard making friends as an adult? And are your friendships important to you? You can call 77732900. You can send us a voice note or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. Is coming up to 6:08, and the idea for our Inside Story today came from an article that was in Vox recently on how men have fewer friends, which in turn then impacts both their mental and physical health. Now, to be clear, this survey focused on American men, but it offers some interesting findings. So they found that the percentage of men with at least six close friends fell by half between 1990 and 2021, and here's the interesting part. One in five single men say that they have no close friendships.
So there were a few suggested reasons for this. And again, this is in an American context, although I think that the overarching truth of adult friendships being difficult is probably something that you can take around the world. But anyway, in America, at least, the survey suggested that young men are living with their parents longer, thus foregoing the need to make other friendships and bonds outside the home. Changes in workplaces might also be a factor, longer working hours, switching jobs more often, going to the office less. And if we go all the way back to childhood, then another reason might be because of the way young boys are socialized to hide their emotions, because the survey did find that women reported receiving more emotional support from a friend in the last week compared to men. Women also scored higher in having shared personal feelings with a friend in the last week. Men were also reported to be less likely to tell their friends that they love them.
So that's when it comes to men in particular. But I think in general, most people, most of us struggle with making friends as we get older, right? And I think this feeling of not having enough people in our lives to be able to share feelings with, to do things with that make us feel sort of like we belong, is quite a real one. So in 2018, an organization in the UK called Campaign to End Loneliness basically teamed up with YouGov and conducted a survey on how often we make new connections in adulthood. And according to that survey, 54% said that it had been a long time since they made a new friend. 63% said that work was an obstacle to connecting with others. Other obstacles that they talked about included chores as well as just having busy lives.
You know what's interesting is that I would have thought that work is a contributor to making friends in some way, but I also realized that that is only at a certain age. So when you are younger, or, you know, your first job, I think a lot of people talk about the first job friends, the ones that they make in their very first job when they come in together, everybody's fresh and it feels like you're all, you know, doing things together, fighting against the man together, what have you. And as you get older and you have other commitments outside of the workplace, those friendships also do fall by the wayside. And there, the numbers that you cited were a lot to do with making new friends. But I think that there's also a need to look at how we maintain our friendships. Because just speaking for myself, I think that both aspects are a struggle, frankly. Whether it's actually meeting new people outside of the workplace, then it gets even more difficult because you spend so much time at work, outside of your partner, outside of your family, you know, outside of your most immediate circles. That gets tough, meeting somebody in the first place. It's why they now have friendship apps, the way that Tinder exists, right? But the other part of it is, even if you do make a friend, or if you're talking about maintaining your old friends, making the effort to see people, to drop by, to call, to do all these things that go into maintaining a friendship can be really tough.
Oh, so many things to actually unpack there, right? Because on the one hand, firstly, how many people consider their colleagues their friends is in itself something to think about. Because if you spend a significant amount of your time working, those are the people that you're spending the bulk of your time with. And then, of course, your childhood friends, your friends that you made in school or university, as you grow up and you sort of take different paths in life, you may find, even if it's not something you wanted, that you often drift apart, or it's just difficult to connect or find the time to do things together, which then results in those friendships feeling not as close as before. And then you compound it with the fact that as an adult, really, how do you make new friends as an adult? This is a question that I see bouncing around on the internet quite a bit. Like, what do you do? Do you
hobbies.
Go, yeah,
I do think you, like, it's hobbies, right?
Right. You have to actively find ways to make new friends rather than the friendships just sort of happening because you are in the same class together.
So, I mean, what do you do? Linger at a bookstore?
I also thought of lingering at a bookstore, but that's because you and I both love bookstores. But I was also thinking, I don't know, like take a language class, take up a new sport, and then you hope that people have time to also make a new friend, right?
Sharmila, here's the sad truth, right? If you and I saw each other lingering at a bookstore, would we be friends? Would we have made friends? Would we then successfully have, you know, fostered a longer term friendship than like a one-time awkward coffee near the bookstore? The bookstore has become central here.
Well, the truth is that I don't think I would even say hi. That's just the reality of, like, I'm in a bookstore, I'm going to buy a book. I'm not here to go say hi to someone else in the same aisle.
That's what I mean. And therein, we come back to the central question.
Yes. So that is the question we're asking you. Do you find it hard making friends as an adult? And are your friendships important to you? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp, or send us a voice note at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Dr. Anasuya Jagadevi Jagadeesan, who is Dean of Psychology and Social Sciences at the University of Cyberjaya. And we'll be talking about why adult friendships are both difficult and important. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:15. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about the challenges of making friends as adults, as well as why it might be important to try. We'd like to hear from you. Do you find it hard making friends as an adult? And are your friendships important to you? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp, or send us a voice note, 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Dr. Anasuya Jagadevi Jagadeesan, Dean of Psychology and Social Sciences at the University of Cyberjaya. Dr. Anasuya, good to have you back with us.
Hi, good to be here from Australia. Hi.
Oh, hello. And why are friendships important?
Friendships are important because it keeps us mentally healthy. Honestly, it is one of the ways where we release stress. It is one of the ways where we release our burdens. We feel ourselves. We can be, you know, we don't have expectations on us with friends. Friends are a very core component of mental health because there's no expectations. With friends, it's an equal relationship. You say what you want. They don't judge you. You don't judge them. Those are the best kind of friendships. And they're really to be valued, especially in today's world.
Do you think that friendships define us? Do they play a significant role in who we become?
It depends on your family structure, your school structure, and your friendship structure. There are many, many areas in our environment that define us. And friends is one of those components in that environment. Depending on the influence of that component, it would define who you become, or in some cases, not who you become. Because sometimes, you know, other factors of your environment play a bigger role. So you can't, you know, sometimes family plays a bigger role, sometimes school plays a bigger role, sometimes not your friends, but other friends play a bigger role. So, you know, when we can't simplify human beings. Human beings are complicated and complex, and each individual has to be looked at individually to not make it so simple. It's not that simple. So friendships can define you. If you have made friendship one of your key definitions, your key areas, you put a lot of effort, you put a lot of energy into maintaining your friendships, then those friendships may define you. But For other people, it may be you have very good friendships, but they don't define you because there's so many other things that may have had more influence in who you are as a person and who you are as a human being. Does that make sense? Hopefully it does.
Yes, it does. Friendships do evolve, though, as we get older. Tell us more about how childhood friendships might differ from adult ones in terms of how they fit into our lives.
Okay, when you talk about childhood friendships, especially friendships that you've had since school days, and I am one of those lucky people with a group of friends since the time I was in school, and how they differ is that we know each other. We've experienced each other through teenage years, through triumphs, through failures, through marriages, through breakups, through kids, and the expectations of each other is just to be there. So you may not see each other very often. You may see each other once a year, or sometimes even once in 3 years during a reunion, when people are all over the world nowadays. And with those types of friendships, there's no expectation, but you always keep in touch. You may not keep in touch as much, but you always keep in touch. Now, with more close friendships, like as adults, when we have adult friendships, it's usually because of either location or shared interest. And because of shared interests and locations, we can be close friends for periods in time. That means when you have shared period in time, when you're both at a location together, you are closer at that point in time. But they may be, I'm not saying they must be, they may be more expectations. They may be more limited to time and space where you have a certain kind of relationship because you meet together for a game or you meet together for an activity or an event. And then after that, when the activity dies or it changes, then you no longer meet, or you're in a workplace. You have a workplace friend. You're with the best friends in the workplace, and then your workplace changed, and suddenly you're no longer best friends. Doesn't make the relationship in the workplace any less important. It just means that circumstances have
changed. And is it those changing circumstances that mean that it's harder to make friends the older you get? Because it really does feel. I don't know if they're necessarily related, but it often feels that making friends is just hard. The older you get, the harder it gets. Why is this happening? Why does this happen?
Because we are more cynical and we have more expectations. We have more trust issues as an adult. I mean, when we were kids, you are there, you're my friend. Hello, we are same age, we are same class, so we are best friends. Now we are same age, we are same group, we are same thing, but, you know, do I trust you? Do you want me for my money? Do you want me for my time? Do we have issues? Are you going to stab me in the back? It's not so much that the friends have changed, it's we have changed. We get more cynical, we get more jaded, we have more barriers up, we are more careful, you know, and so we lose opportunities in that way. And myself included, you know, we may not reach out in friendship as much as we would have when we were children. That's not to do with the fact that they also have those same issues. So we don't connect as much as we did when we were kids, when the only expectation when you're kids is you're my friend because you're there.
How many friends do we actually need? How can we tell if we have enough friends?
How long is a piece of thread? And a string is as long as you need. How many friends you need? I mean, best friends I can count on one hand. Good friends I can count a lot more, you know. But the best friends which I can count on one hand, these are individuals which I know I can count on them. You know, when you need them, even if they're not there physically, they're there emotionally for you. They don't judge you. And how many do you need? It's how many. Some people just need one. Some people need a lot. It really, again, depends on individuals. One of the biggest things that, biggest mistakes we do is we assume what is good for us is good for other people. That's just not true. Everybody has a different yardstick and everybody's yardstick is unique to them. So if you need lots of friends, then you need lots of friends. And don't let other people come and tell you, oh, you know, you only need one or two good friends. Oh, please, that's them. That's them. They're judging.
So that's a quantity question, but I also wanted to focus on the quality of friends we have and the role they play, because we do also hear about things like toxic friendships, the pain of friend breakups. And there are a couple of things here, right? Firstly, how do we assess whether our friendships are still functioning well? Because that can be difficult, especially when they've been around for you for a long time. And also, what advice do you have for working through the pain of friendships that don't work out?
Okay, when you have friends who are toxic, What is a toxic friendship? If every time you all are meeting as friends, all you're doing is talking bad about other people. If when you meet up, you feel like you need a bath during the meetup. If you feel that, oh, you feel small, like you don't feel good. When you're in a relationship with a friend, you're supposed to feel good. But in that relationship, if that person is putting you down and subtle microaggressions and, you know, they always have snide remarks and you're forgiving them, why are you forgiving them? What is your benefit from that relationship? If the benefit is just nostalgia, it's time to move on. The benefit has to be in the here and now for a friendship to be kept more than a nostalgic friendship. A nostalgic friendship is, look, you want to meet up? I'm busy, but I can see you in a party when the other people are around. I don't want to break the friendship because we've known each other for a very long time, but you're in a different place and I'm in a different place. And you know what? I don't want to see you one-on-one anymore. I don't have to tell you, but I can be smart about it. There's a big party. Lots of people are coming. Sure, you can come for that. One-on-one, maybe I'm busy. Maybe I've got other things to do. And, you know, as adults, we have that out, thank God. So the second question was on how do we get over having toxic friendships? Here's the hard part. Who changed? Because sometimes we change. Sometimes we could have been as toxic as those people. I have been a toxic friend in my life. After like 20, 30 years, not so long ago, a few months ago, I actually apologized to somebody for something really toxic I said as a kid, which I remembered until now. But at that point in time, I thought I was in the right. And I justified it in my head and I was angry with that person, but I was 100% in the wrong. You know, but only now I can recognize it. And luckily, we weren't very close, but you know, I was close to the friend group. And so something happened and we had a conversation and I finally apologized. 20, 30 years later, oh my God. And you know, I was very lucky the person forgave me. But so sometimes the person who grew up is us. And then that's one of the things in a toxic relationship, so that sometimes they move away because of our behavior. Now, then we have to own it. Then we have to go, okay, what did I do wrong? Do I change? Do I grow? If the answer is yes, then that's really good. Then you have the ones who break your heart because they betray you. Betrayal happens, especially as adults. That's why we've got all our defenses, like I mentioned earlier. And how you get over it is, you get over it by understanding that it was their issue. Same way when I was toxic, it was my issue. It was not that person's fault I was toxic. I was going through something and I projected it on that person. So if you have a toxic friendship and this person is projecting and doing all sorts of things in their life and they're toxic, and we need to break away from that relationship or we've been betrayed, then at that point in time, you really sit back and go, it is their issue. I have other friends. There are other scenarios where I don't create this kind of drama. You know, I have a lot of friends who I'm still close to. It is only this relationship that has gone terribly wrong. So it's not me being selfish. It is that person. And keeping in mind that selfish people use the word selfish a lot. Selfish people like to accuse selfless people of being selfish. And if you want to check whether you are selfish or selfless, check with the other people that you deal with. And if a lot of other people you are still maintaining relationships with, they don't see you as selfish, then maybe it is that person. So just because somebody says you're selfish doesn't mean it's true. So, and evaluate. Be honest with yourself. Be honest about the kind of person you are. Sometimes it's a bit painful to admit that you are in the wrong. And sometimes that person is in the wrong. And then we have to separate and say, it is their issue. Not my life. Not my drama. So I've got to move on, you know. And then hopefully in a few years, maybe hopefully not 20 years, they come back and apologize. And you get to meet them. I'm a bit slow in that learning curve. For that no, I was just a bit shy. I was not slow. I knew I was wrong. After a while, I knew I was wrong. It's hard to apologize, okay? And it was shy. So, but I did it. There you go. I'm very proud of myself for that.
So if we go back to the question that sort of began this conversation, what advice or tips would you give to people who are trying to make new friends? I just have to say we have just a couple of minutes left.
Yeah, if you're trying to make new friends, we need to trust. We need to at least have a baseline of trust in order to make a new friend. Don't look for friends. If you can, don't look for friends at work. because when you talk about workplace, there's always going to be competition, you know, a bit more challenging to have a workplace friendship that lasts a long time. Look for friendships in service activities, where when you do service together, volunteer groups. Look for friendships in interest-based groups. So the relationship is based on shared interests, it's based on giving, it's based on being kind, and then the chances are you'll find some real friendships there.
Dr. Anasuya, thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you, my pleasure.
We've been speaking with Dr. Anasuya Jagadevi Jagadeesan, Dean of Psychology and Social Sciences at the University of Cyberjaya. And we've been talking about adult friendships and whether why we might find it harder to make friends as an adult. We'd like to hear from you. Do you find it hard making friends as an adult? And are your friendships important to you? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're getting plenty of thoughts already. Do keep them coming. And we'll get to them after this, and keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Business, finance, and music, BFM 89.9.
It's 6:37. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn, and we've been talking about the notion of making friends as an adult. This comes on the wake of a number of studies that seem to indicate that most people get lonelier as they get older. They find it more difficult to make friends. And so we are unpacking that and essentially trying to talk it out together, really, and find out what's happening. We would like to hear from you. Do you find it hard making friends as an adult? Are your friendships important to you? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp, or send us a voice note at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Let's kick things off with a voice note. We have this from Ashley.
I think as we grow older, friendships are a lot harder to maintain. Mostly because there's a lot more work that you have to put in. And for me, I'm turning slowly into a young adult. So having to let go of friendships that I held on to during high school, learning that friendships can be seasonal, all of that is quite painful, honestly, to endure. But once you've made peace with that, it kind of feels like you're maturing, or at least I like to feel like I am. But even now, like with friends that I do make throughout like hobbies or things that are unrelated to what I'm doing right now, or at least like not in terms of like making friends at work, it does feel like a lot harder, especially to clarify what expectations we have of each other. So like handling disappointment, handling like conflict, all of that as you get older becomes a lot harder to navigate in friendships. So I don't know, part of me misses like the high school friendship groups where you would stick in cliques. Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense.
Thank you for that, Ashley. And, you know, I think you touched on so many relevant points there. I think the that point about harder to clarify expectations, I think sometimes that just has to do with people being in different places in life. I think it also has to do with people wanting different things from their friendships. But yeah, I think I identify so much with almost everything you said.
You know, the other thing that really struck me is with the letting go of older friends. And I've been thinking about that a lot, that the duration of friendship, not even friendship, the duration of having known somebody, I think, is no longer, for me at least, such a huge qualifier of whether we're friends or not. Instead, it is about trust. It has a lot to do with it. When I say trust, right, I don't even mean like, am I going to tell you at 3 a.m. about my existential crisis, but more to do with, if I send you a meme, are you going to get it? And, you know, can I trust you to be on, I guess, wavelength? There are all these differing levels of trust.
Actually,
as well.
For me, trust can even just mean if we made plans to meet for a coffee tomorrow, you're not going to flake half an hour before.
And so, yeah, there are varying degrees of what I mean by trust, from the more surface to the more profound. But largely, I've been reckoning as well with this idea of time and duration of having known one another not being the largest prerequisite for friendship.
Do keep those thoughts coming. We'd love to get a voice note or a phone call from you. Do you find it hard making friends as an adult? Are your friendships important? You can call 7733 2900. Send us a voice note at 018-789-8899. You can WhatsApp us as well. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. I'm also curious about how you make new friends as an adult. If you'd like to share tips, do keep them coming as well. We also have plenty of other messages.
Yes, before we get there, though, I did want to say one more thing about Ashley's voice note, because I forgot to mention it, and that is the mention of high school cliques. Because back in the day, you were ride or die, even if you hated each other, like half an hour before something requires a ride or die moment, in the moment, you would still get together and do the thing. And I don't know anymore whether... whether adult friendships have that same quality, and maybe it's not a good thing anyway, but that was the one reliable thing you could count on with cliques.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think the word clique actually signifies a more negative tone, right? I think when you're older, it's nice to have a group that you can rely on. But yeah, I think those things can go either way as well. The expectation to kind of fit in may not be something necessarily everybody wants. We have Bui actually making quite a profound point, saying, if you want to make friends, make sure you can take care of your friends or help them when they are in need. That's what friendship means. An important point and sound advice. She said, never make friends in the office. Some so-called buddies and brothers in the office will stab you in the back. Organization is a competitive environment. There are best colleagues, never friends. So the first part of that I agree with. I think if you call people your friends, it is important to show up, right? The second part, I'm not so sure, because I agree with what our guest Dr. Anasuya said earlier. But on the other hand, I wasn't necessarily... As someone who's made a fair number of good friends at work, I think it can really vary depending on your organization.
Me too. The organization part is key, right? Because it's about organizational culture. If your organizational culture is one that is quite competitive and cutthroat, then yalla, you know, you're not going to expect to have best friends there. But if you come from a more cuddly organization, a more, you know, like... heartfelt, I suppose, in some ways, company culture, then perhaps it's possible.
We do have a caller on the line. Good evening, Siva. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts, okay, like friendship. Okay, we need friends as we get older and all that. But some friendship, we tend to break off and all, because we tend to, like what you said, is because of environmental, and then, you know, as a... And then, you know, like when we were bachelors, we tend to do different things and all that. And then when we get married, we tend to shy away and all, everything. So that is...
Hello? No, yes, you're still on, Siva. I'm just curious as to whether you figured out a way to make new friends.
I do. But then now I'm also cautious, because most of our friends now in this current time are more money-making friends. They're trying to make income out of us. This kind of friendship is also we have. And then the worst part, what I felt is I had a friend who was in standard one. We were the school buddies from standard one to form five. And then I didn't know that at the end of the day, he took loan under my name and all that. Because when his house got burned, I allowed him to stay in my rented house. And then he made use of all my items and all that. And so this kind of thing. So nowadays, when I want to make friends, I tend to take precaution.
Siva, thank you for calling and thank you for your thoughts. Do keep those thoughts coming. You can call us 7733 2900. You can send us a voice note at 018-789-8899. You can also send us a WhatsApp or tweet us at BFM Radio. And we have more messages.
Okay, controversial one from Boy, who says, nah, men are easier to make friends or be one. Brotherhood, remember? Followed by, we're just lazy to fill the survey form. Men usually don't express their feelings, while women, it's the other way. Lelaki usually kawan with scattered people everywhere, while perempuan always lepaking with the same friend from their childhood. Boy, what survey are you referring to with this information? And finishes off by saying, if you want to be a politician, you need more friends. If you want to be a successful scammer, you only need one.
So much there that I want to respond to. I just wanted to say, actually, on the distinction between men and women, I think it really depends what kind of person you are also, right? Some people like having someone to be able to confide in, the same friend who knows them really well. Others like having a bunch of people that you can do fun things with, that offer you company. And so going back to something our guest earlier said, knowing yourself and what your needs are is also quite important.
Yes, I think so. And the scattered people everywhere example is interesting, right? Because then it depends on whether you have different friends for different purposes, like movie friend, you know, dinner friend, but not necessarily I have to go to the police station, can you drive me friend, which is a different category of person. So Aaron says, I think as we grow older, we tend to keep old friends, some of whom pass the test of being a real friend. That definition will differ by person. Like all relationships, you need to put in the time. And with what little free time we have, we're going to be picky. But of course, as humans, we crave new friendships. How I get this done is by joining a new community, putting myself out there, pick up a new sport or hobby, join like-minded groups, attend conferences, bring dogs out to the dog party. I think what's missing about the bookstore example is that there's no common ground other than being in the same space as another. It's not the right setting. To add on, I'm an introvert, but I crave social interaction. But it's difficult for me to meet a group of people I don't know. I shut down and keep quiet. Also, Aaron wants to add a question to everybody saying, who of your friends would attend your funeral and whose funeral would you attend? Which is an interesting one because, you know, you know what they say about births, deaths, marriages, right? Those are the big ones that people do show up for to note and to remember people. But there were a few things I wanted to say to that. I think there are a lot of interesting points. And Aaron, all due respect as an introvert for putting yourself out there, I can't imagine that's easy. And that actually was what I think was missing in the bookstore example from my story, not the example, which is that my point is, Sharmila and I have lots in common. But I think that if we met at a bookstore, neither of us would think to put ourselves out there in order to find out what we had in common. And that is the key thing.
And actually, Aaron answers that quite neatly, right? Because it's intention that's important. If you want to make new friends, you actually do have to put yourself out there in a particular way. And all these examples that Aaron offered are actually great, right? Picking up a hobby, attending classes, a sport, bringing a dog to a dog party, I love. I think dogs actually, or cats or pets, offer great opportunities to connect with people because they just, people gravitate towards you when you have cute pets. Keep those thoughts coming. Do you find it difficult to make friends as an adult? Are your friendships important to you? And how do you make new friends, actually? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp, or send us a voice note at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after this with more of your thoughts. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Balming frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:50. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn, and we're talking about adult friendships today. We're asking you, do you find it hard making friends as an adult? Are your friendships important to you? You can call 7733-2900, send us a voice note or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. I believe we have a caller on the line. We have Avin. Good evening, Avin. What are your thoughts?
Hey, good evening. Well, my thoughts are that, you know, there's this very age-old term called quality versus quantity. Mm-hmm. So during your younger days, right, you want to have as many friends as you want, as you can. You know, back during then when you have social medias like Friendster and then the early stages of Facebook, right, you would want to add as many friends as you can, you know, a few hundreds or a few thousands. But as you grow older, right, and you mature, this gets thinner. You want to keep the quality ones around you, right? So you don't want to have that many hundreds or thousands of friends in your social media. And even in your close circle, you keep in touch with those that, you know, really you can relate to with a common interest and things like that.
Could I just check before we let you go, Avin? How do you maintain your friendships? Because I totally agree, right? Quality over quantity. But then even maintaining the quality can be tough, I think.
Yeah, that's where I mentioned, right, where you have actually a common interest that you can bounce it off, you know, professional networking, you know, you don't chat every day, but, you know, you chat only when it's needed, you know, when certain alumni gatherings and things like that.
Avon, thank you for calling. Do keep those thoughts coming. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp or voice note 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have so many thoughts. Let's see. We have Hadrian saying, at this age, working and all, making acquaintances and new friends is less important than keeping close friends. Those friendships are dear. They are people I can be real with, those who hear me out and care for, and vice versa. And yes, maintaining those friendships are important to me, and I do make an effort to either text, call, or drop by whenever I'm in their hometowns. They are my pillars of strength. I may have many friends, but I only have very few close friends.
That's lovely. And a number of, and I think just good, sound, general tips, right? Make an effort to keep in touch. Although, can I also complicate that slightly by saying that I've observed that in many long-term friendships, one person is the initiator more often than not.
That's an interesting one. Perhaps yes, not with all, but yes, with some.
Correct. Mm. Not with all. And you might not also be the initiator in each.
I don't realize that I've been the one dropping the ball, which is something maybe most of us don't realize, right?
I just think that in varying settings with different friendships, that in each one, it's rarely a 50-50 of we've kept in touch an equal amount of times. There will be one person who forgets to reply. There will be one person who, I'm not saying forgets to wish happy birthday, just the person who calls less, for example. And maybe another trick to a long-term friendship is being comfortable with that and not necessarily keeping score. Because I don't mean to say it as a keeping score kind of thing, just as a fact of life.
Danielle says, yes, I'm among one of the friendless adults. Apart from my wife and my work colleagues, I don't have any friends now. I don't connect with my uni friends apart from during their weddings, and I'm not close enough to spend my time with my colleagues outside of work. Plus, TV shows like Friends, Big Bang Theory, or How I Met Your Mother are just fairy tales. No adults have that many close friends. My wife and I always say that our kids don't have to worry about spending big at their weddings later. Mommy and Daddy got no friends. Ah, one practical consolation.
I love that. You know, the thing about fairy tales is interesting because it's almost like it's an adult fairy tale that after you get married or whatever and you're no longer on the hunt for the one, then the next big fairy tale you tell yourself is, no, but I'll maintain my friend group.
Yeah, you see, actually all those shows that you pointed out, Danielle, they end when they find partners and sort of have moved on into their own lives, right? And in my head, I'd like to think that Chandler and Joey and Monica and Ross and Rachel and Phoebe are hanging out together. But really, they're probably doing the let's sync calendars and meet every 6 months thing.
And yet, even then, one person will say, guys, I am so sorry.
I don't think I can make it.
Yeah, because that is the other inevitable truth. We had I think a couple of interesting ones coming through earlier about people who have actually done better as adults. So Nat says, I'm making more friends as an adult. My school friends have grown apart, not by choice. We've just become different people with different priorities. I actively seek new connections because I don't want to be dependent on my existing friends, doing things I don't want to do, but doing so because I don't want to feel alone. I find new friends who are also experiencing change, people who are willing to try new things. One of my newer friends I made was 10 years ago at a New York bakery, Magnolia. We bonded over flourless cupcakes. I've made friends with fellow volunteers, mutuals who have become good friends, ex-colleagues who became friends, ex-students who became friends. I don't necessarily think I've outgrown my existing friendships, but sometimes I feel like I'm limited, especially when they don't grow as I keep challenging myself. But the thing is, I'm quite the introvert. This is a theme also. I like quiet situations. The friends I'm close to now are friends I made in the past decade. Kevin also says, I tend to make more friends in adulthood. I love my hobbies, skateboarding, golf, graffiti art, and make most of my friends through those interests. I tend to get closer to the ones I click with, who usually share more in common, especially on a level of communication and positive attitude. Everyone else may not be as close, but still have an open heart for it, and I know they do too. It's a mutual respect, and those that are more passionate about their hobbies understand better.
Those are actually really great points. I do think that there is, I think there's a lot of merit in finding shared activities, right? And that's really, when we talk about shared spaces, it also means that there's a reason for you to keep meeting those friends. And I think that is inevitable as an adult. We do have a voice note. This is from Anna.
So I definitely think that making friends when you're older is harder because when you're younger, you tend to share schedules with a group of people. And I mean, even at the workplace, there's a distinction between who you can be friends with. There's an expectation that to keep things professional at times. And so, yeah, and I think that over time, it's harder to maintain friendships as well, with people getting busier. So I think as people grow older, some may feel more lonely. I think that's a thing that at least the people I know struggle with.
Thank you for that, Anna. You know, this question of workplace friendships has come up quite a bit. And I find it really interesting, right? Again, as someone who I think has been quite lucky to make pretty good friends at work. You know, even in my previous workplace, my current workplace, I find it interesting that this is a struggle. And I think some of it might have to do with the expectation that everybody in your office has to be your good friend.
Yeah, that everyone in your office or... It's also made worse. I know I said earlier that company culture plays a role, but I think it's made worse sometimes when the company culture seems to espouse that and you go in and you don't feel that way. So there are a lot of layers to the making friends at work thing. And I do also think that if you made friends at work, they have to be tested outside. If you only ever talk at work, then maybe they are your work friends, not friends you made at work.
I think on this side of things, we have time for one more. We have Munif saying, "The key here, my fellow old men, is common interest. I made so many genuine friendships through Pokemon Go, taking out a Lugia with 3 seconds left on the clock. Lugia, I'm not sure which it is, on the clock will bond any men together. Online games too, made multiple lifelong buddies through PS4 alone. And granted, you might not like everyone in your workplace, but once I find someone who loves manga or Man U, and suddenly we're lunching together consecutively. Common interests don't recognize age. We just need to dare to find or be aware of the signs of what an individual within your proximity likes, what merch they wear, what they talk about, what they say they do on weekends are big hints. When the nexus of the friendship is an activity you enjoy, it won't feel forced or tiring or sabotaged by your cynical, jaded self. A friendship via common interest also is impervious to changes in your locality, situation, and environment." You know, I completely agree. It doesn't have to be Pokemon Go, but I do think common interests are a big part of making friendships. Keep those thoughts coming. Do you find it hard making friends as an adult? Are your friendships important to you? Call 7733290, WhatsApp, send us a voice note at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9.
It's 7:08. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. We're continuing our conversation on adult friendships and what works in terms of making new friends as an adult. So we are still getting plenty of thoughts. Let's start with some messages.
Gerald says, "I once tried to make friends with a group of dolphins, but they turned out to be too clicky." Sorry, I just wanted to start with that.
A dolphin pun is not what I thought we'd get today, and yet I love it.
I mean, it's good. When it's good, it's worth reading. Randy says, "I'm 54 and I'm in touch with about 10 high school friends, including 5 from kindy."
Oh, you know, that's actually really great. And if you're okay, Randy, we'd love to hear back from you. And I wanted to know how often you meet and what do you do together? I'm so curious.
So my dad is older than 54, but he has maintained a lifelong friendship from the age of 6 with his bestie. And they maintain that via phone calls. They've been in different countries for a long time, but now that they're back in the same country, it's meals and coffee and, you know, random like food gifts. But my father, I have to confess, was the one I was thinking of when I said that it's a 50-50 thing, because he is not holding up his end. His bestie is a good friend.
I just wanted to say that any good friendship that doesn't involve food gifts, I mean, what are we even talking about?
What is the point? But the other thing is that I think school reunions can play a part in reuniting people, because you go for like those reunion dinners, and then while you're there, the phone numbers get exchanged, a WhatsApp group gets started. And I think that's sometimes how people stay in touch as well.
We do have a voice note. This is Shazni.
I'm not sure what kind of friends that we are discussing about. I mean, is it friends for fun or friends to discuss like life issues, politics and such? Because those two are very different groups, right? So in my case, I already make a new friends when I join Dungeons & Dragons game group. So for me, it is quite easy lah, because maybe because we have a lot of common. But I'm not sure whether that can progress into a lifelong friends. That I'm not sure. That I don't know.
You know, check out Stranger Things. I think that you can make great friends bonding over Dungeons and Dragons. But Shazni, I love that. I think, actually, it as I said earlier, I think it might depend on you, what kind of friends you want. Friends that you can share your feelings with, or friends that you can have fun and play board games with?
That, and there is, I don't think there is a need for exclusivity, right? Mm. Like, one can become the other, it can go both ways. But the other part of it is also that you can have all types of friends. So I think some people are more comfortable doing things alone. For example, I don't always need a friend to go on holiday with, for instance. But I know some people for whom that's just not a thing. And the same thing goes for meals. So I think it really depends on what you need company for, in what setting, and how much emotional support you want or expect, right, from your close friendships.
I also just wanted to quickly correct myself. I did not mean to diminish Dungeons and Dragons and call it a board game. But Intan says, and this is actually something that I've observed quite a bit. Intan says, all my friends from school and uni have become parents. They don't have time for mama sessions after work and home duties. Single career woman like me just get lonelier, as guy friends usually want something. Ladies just don't have the time. And that's what I meant way back at the start of the show when I said deferring paths in life can often end up being a little bit too difficult to ever reconverge, right? And I do feel like it requires effort on both sides.
Well, Intan also added, my uncle is old enough to claim that he keeps in touch with everyone from his year at school, which I enjoyed. But Intan, I would like to contrast your experience against Danielle's from earlier, who said that he doesn't have friends because of parenting. So it just seems that as we get older and priorities shift and life experiences shift, this is just a through line, regardless of what those experiences might be.
We also have, let's see, Squatting Sasquatch with some tips, saying, I usually trigger a conversation or break the ice once I have a gut feeling that someone I'm going to start being friendly with is comfortable or is likely to respond back. For example, I will sometimes actively scan for a hint of someone who has the slightest same interest, or even when that person is doing an activity that I can relate to. I wouldn't just barge in for a chat. I feel sometimes personal space is also important, but if he or she represents a similar attribute or interest as myself, even if it's just a smidge, I could give it a try. If it's not comfortable for them, then I wouldn't continue to pursue.
Yeah, I think that's good rules for making friends or relationships in general, right?
I believe we have a caller on the line. Good evening, Shankar. What are your thoughts?
Hi, Shamila. Good evening to you. Hope you're doing good. See, Shamila, I have a big circle of friends, you know. Let it be friends from school, let it be friends from work, let it be friends from a football. Let it be friends who play badminton with me on weekly. See, I have a real big circle of friends, right? And the friendship you cannot take further sometimes because you're married. When you're married, right, your partner, right, sometimes may not like it when you are frequently meeting your friends or catching up for drinks and all that. Because it's like that, you know what I mean? They feel that you are spending too much time with your friends. So you always have a limitation with your friends. That's my thought, I think.
Shankar, thank you for calling. Do keep those thoughts coming. Do you find it difficult making friends as an adult? Are your friendships important to you? You can call 7733 2900. You can send us a voice note or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Before we move on to our next guest, I think we have time for a couple more messages.
I wanted to get to this one from B because it acknowledges something that as yet no one's mentioned. Yes, I do find it hard to make friends as an adult. It feels like as I grow older, I have money and I know what kind of lifestyle I want. I also become more aware of the societal and political issues that affect me. It then becomes harder to find friends with that selective circumstance. When we were younger, everyone goes along easily in the same classroom, having the same homework, all of which are not influencing a lifestyle. And yes, I believe friends are important. We are social animals after all. And B, I think that is, money is an important acknowledgement because if you're talking about spending time together, I know that there are a lot of things that don't require it. And I know that there are friendships that transcend that. But I mean, if even picking a place to eat can be fraught, that's a difficult friendship to maintain sometimes.
Yeah. And I think those are things that do come in the way, right? Going on holiday together, how much do you spend? Mm. Where do you stay? What can we all afford to do? And again, it comes down to actually the basic rules of doing things in a group or with other people, sort of being considerate, being able to discuss and be honest. And I say that while also acknowledging that's not the easiest thing to do.
Kyril just sent in a message saying, I used to have friends based on mutual roasting. I loved it. Not many can hold on to that kind of fierce friendship. But yes, we grew up and grew apart. These kinds of friends are hard to come by. Now I'm married with children. I love being with just my family and I don't feel like I need to have friends. I'm content with being friendless now. I hope I'm not a bad person for wanting to be this way, because it does sound like that.
Well, I don't think so, Kyril. I think actually it comes down to what you might want at a particular point in time. Mm. I think it's only when there are some people who then look back and go, oh, what happened to all my friends, right? And I think having an awareness of, well, what happened is also important.
That and empty nest. Mm. So, you know, it's different at different stages, I think.
Just to close off on this side of things, I believe we have a voice note from an anonymous listener.
Well, truth is, I think making friends as an adult is sort of like, do you know, if you relate it to food, it's like trying out new food in your life. When you're young, you may not know what you like or what you're potentially allergic to. But as you grow older, you have an idea that if you can't eat peanuts, stay away from peanuts. If you can't take raw food and your stomach gets upset when you take raw food, stay away from raw food. So you get to know and you get to have an understanding regarding what sort of people you would like or would be more suitable to be around you. And very much like cuisine, you get experiences and eventually you sort of know where you would want to spend more of your time. But one issue is that, you know, as you're growing older, you can't eat as much anymore. You don't have that much time for exercise, etc., or activities because of work and a lot of different responsibility, etc. And you end up eating less. So I guess that is sort of like making friends as you get older, is that you don't have the privilege of time or the privilege of freedom so much so that allows you to go around and make so much friends, very much like eating. But you eat quality food and you make quality friends and you choose and pick. You can't fight every battle. You just got to choose and pick.
The equation of food and friends and how you may choose what works for you. I'm still trying to brain it, but I'm so intrigued.
Some friends are sashimi. That's my takeaway.
Keep those thoughts coming. After this, we're going to hone in on one particular finding that men specifically find it more difficult to make friends as they grow, as they become older. But let us know, do you find it hard making friends as an adult? Are your friendships important to you? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp, or send us a voice note 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with clinical psychologist Prakash Ravindran. So keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:19. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we're continuing our conversation on making friends as adults by honing in on men in particular. Because a study that was published in Vox essentially says that men find it more difficult to make friends as they get older. Do keep those thoughts coming though. Do you find it hard making friends as an adult? Are your friendships important to you? You can call us, WhatsApp us, send us a voice note, and tweet us. Joining us on the line now is clinical psychologist Prakash Ravindran. Prakash, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, in your own experience, what has it been like when it comes to forming and maintaining friendships in adulthood?
I think for myself, it was much easier when I was younger. Maybe, you know, when I was in university, I didn't make more friends then. So we talk about forming friendships, and then the key part also is maintaining them, right? I think I made more friends in university. And then as I got older, I maintained friendship with some of them. And as I got older as well, you know, I started working. I still continued to make friends, but sometimes it was harder, you know, with lack of time, with so many other different responsibilities. I think it got harder to maintain some of these newer friendships, you know, like if people move out of jobs, people go and move locations or move shift houses further away from you. It got a bit more difficult to maintain some of these friendships. So basically, I think where I am at now, at my stage of life, is I'm maintaining my friendships from my university days or even from my schooling days.
So it's been reported that adult men have a harder time forming friendships compared to women. Why do men in particular struggle with this?
I think men, they may not struggle so much to make friends, but maybe they struggle to make close or what we might call more intimate friendships. And obviously there are a few reasons for this. I mean, sometimes men might find it more difficult to open up or to share or to be vulnerable. They might not be so good at expressing how they feel, or you know, there's an expectation that, you know, men can are supposed to be more independent, you know, tough. So they might not want to show or express signs of weakness. There's also a certain level of, you know, status, right? Men sometimes can be more competitive. They want to put up a certain front. They want to show people that they're doing well, they're being successful. So I think these are some of the elements that maybe makes it more difficult for men to form more close or intimate relationships.
If I may expand on that, how different are friendship ideals between men and women? I mean, do men look for different traits in friends?
I think when we talk about that, it's important to think about how men and women socialize. So men tend to go about it with the what we might term shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. So they socialize by doing things together. It's more activity-based, where the example is through sports, right, or going out for drinks. Yeah. But women, on the other hand, they form relationships via face-to-face, what we might call more face-to-face friendships. So it's more engaged, it's more sitting in front of you, there's more talking, there's more sharing. So based on that, you know, if you just look at that, you can say that maybe men might prefer friends who are, you know, more sporty, you know, if they're more competitive and they like sports in that way, they enjoy that competitive nature. They enjoy hanging out and having fun, then they just want people who, you know, are a good time or have fun. But on the other hand, maybe women, you know, they prefer people who might sit down and listen to them, you know, spend time talking to them. So I think it also comes back to the method of socialization.
So we do hear a lot about how men are socialized to be less vulnerable, less, some might say, emotional. How much of this is reflected in the sort of friendships that they have?
Yeah, so I think what happens is that, you know, a lot of men, they form friendships, or they might make friends easily, you know, like when they play sports, they might meet new people. When they go and hang out, they might meet new other friends. So they do make these friends, but the friendships may not evolve into a deeper, closer level of friendship where you might feel comfortable to share and talk and receive support from these people. And then what happens generally then is that when you don't have that level of friendship, it becomes harder to maintain these friendships because, you know, for various reasons, you might have less time to do these activities anymore, right? So you might not play sports as often as you did before. So you have less time to meet these friends or make new friends. So I guess that's how it would generally impact it.
So then what happens, you know, when men find themselves having few avenues for support? What alternatives do they look to?
I think that's a tough one, because I think it really depends from person to person. You know, I think many people just end up trying to manage on their own, right? You know, just trying to handle it, suck it up, be tough. Sometimes they might end up relying a little bit more on family members or parents, you know, for social support. And sometimes we talk about mental health, you know, we talk about things like stress, depression, So these are things that also contribute to that. When you have a lack of avenue to explore, obviously addiction or alcoholism also is quite a common thing that some men go down, the road that they might go down if they have a lack of avenues to get these supports.
And it's not easy, I think, to move past the societal and cultural factors that contribute to the difficulties that men might face in forming friendships, especially when they're things that are entrenched in your childhood and then reinforced in your adulthood. But what are some steps that we should work towards in trying to address this then?
Well, I think in general for men, you know, it's about being able to model a certain level of vulnerability, right? You know, being able to be open and share the things that you're worried about or you're having difficulties with. Being open to asking more questions, right? Like, you know, when you have conversations with your friends, asking them a little bit more about what they're doing, how they're feeling. Because I think a big part as well is when we talked about, I mentioned just now, modeling. That's generally a lot of the ways how the younger generation learn, right? Like, so children, if they're more used to parents, uncles around them expressing their emotions and being open to talking about how they feel, then they'll also learn that, you know, that it's okay, right? You know, like my role model, my dad, is open to talking about these things. So I also feel more comfortable talking about these things.
We have a couple of minutes left. What advice do you have for men when it comes to seeking out friendships?
Well, just now we talked a little bit about the way men socialize. So I think the key also is honing in on these activities, right? So starting to form or go through these activities to form your friendships, right? So there's nothing wrong with that. You can go ahead and do your sports, go to the gym, go and hang out to make friends. But after that, I think it's a key thing where we need to ask ourselves the question, right? Like, how close are we with our friends? Once we've made these friends, how close are we with our friends? How close do we want to get with these friends? How open and how honest am I willing to be with these friends? And of course, being able to prioritize friendship, right? Because friendships take time to cultivate. You know, you need to put in the time to talk, to spend time together. So being able to prioritize that. And similar to what was mentioned just now, I think being able to take the first step to share, you know, to open up, right? You know, because sometimes there's a... Once somebody starts, you know, the friendship feels a little bit more open. The other person also feels that they can also share. They can also talk about these things. Yeah, so I think somebody has to take the first step. And once you do that, I think it pays off for the friendship.
Prakash, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was clinical psychologist Prakash Ravindran weighing in specifically on male friendships, particularly as you get older. But we've been talking in general about adult friendships and the challenges of, well, making them. Do keep your thoughts coming. Do you find it hard making friends as an adult? Are your friendships important to you? You can call us, WhatsApp us, send us a voice note and tweet us. After this, we'll be wrapping up the headlines of the week. So keep it here, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.